This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafi al-anbiya'i wal mursaleen Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam Tasliman kathiran kathira fama badu. You know, today to us these stories, they seem strange. Huh? But remember one thing, Allah is the same. The Nabi is the same, the Kitab is the same. The heavens are the same, the earth is the same. The laws that govern all of this are the same. The only thing which has changed is these hands. The hands of the Sahaba were never raised in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why when they were raised to ask Allah, Allah gave them. The tongues of the Sahaba never spoke anything which was against the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why when they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah gave them. May Allah forgive us today. We speak against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We act against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our hands are raised in oppression. Our hands are raised to do wrong things. And then when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we say our dua is not accepted. How will it be accepted? Tell me. You just proved that you are not obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, may Allah accept your dua anyway. I mean, I'm not standing in the way of your dua. Your dua doesn't go through me. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your dua irrespective of anything. But my point is, I am explaining to you the rules. And the rules are what? The rules are that the duas of those who are obedient are the duas which are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Except tawbah, which of course, no matter how disobedient you are, you make tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, will accept this tawbah. That's a different discussion, so I'm not going into the detail of that now. But as far as the rest of it is concerned, duas are accepted by people who are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, we need to correct ourselves and change ourselves and ensure that we do things which are in keeping with the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Last slide before we break for Maghrib in another 5 minutes, inshallah. I want you to, I have mentioned all of these things to you before, but just as a reminder, I want you to reflect and think about these four things. Number one, do you really need salah? What do you think? Ask yourself seriously, do I really need salah? And when you say need, do you need it as badly as you need food, or do you need it as badly as you need air? If I keep you hungry, I mean, shortly we are going to break and, you know, we have pray Maghrib and you are going to have some tea and snacks and stuff. But I'm saying, supposing we keep you hungry for a whole day, there is a need for food, you will feel hungry and so on and so forth. But supposing I ask for a bucket of water and then I dip your head inside that and I hold it down, how long will you keep it there? And what will you start doing? For the food, at the most, you might moan and groan and grumble and so on and so forth. What else will you do? But there, if your head is stuck under water and somebody is holding it down, you can't scream, obviously, but you know, you will kick and bite and God knows what you will do, because it's a matter of death. You are dying. You are seeing death. So when you say you need salah, what is the magnitude of that need? What is the level of that need? Ask yourself this question. Number two is, do we really understand the value of 27 times? I'm talking about praying in the masjid as opposed to praying at home. When you say 27 times, do you really understand the value of this? What is the meaning of 27 times? Number three is, do we see salah as a burden to be discharged? One of my shuyukh used to say, see the beauty of this. He used to say that if you pray at the end of the prayer, how do you feel? So I told him, I feel relief. He said, then your prayer is faulty. Something is wrong with your salah. I said, why? He said, who feels the relief? Who feels the relief? Somebody who has dumped a burden. He was carrying a weight. He threw it. He feels relief. Yeah, this is the beauty of studying with shuyukh, the right shuyukh. Think about this. You have prayed and you feel relief. That means you considered this salah to be something which was a burden. So you got rid of it. Now you feel relief. The Sahaba used to pray and finish and they would feel regret, not relief. Oh, this is over. When is the next one? I mentioned this story again many times before. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, his Abdullah bin Abbas's servant, somebody asked him, "What? Tell us about the life of your master." He said, "He waits for one salah. He from one salah to the next. He waits for the next salah, and in between recites Quran. He waits from one salah for the next, and in between he recites Quran." So was he a hermit sitting in a cave somewhere? No. Abdullah bin Abbas was a big time businessman. So he was doing business. He was trading. They used to make deals. The Sahaba, this is something which most people don't understand. The Sahaba, the kind of trade they had in today's money was worth billions. They did the equivalent of what we have now as you know, letters of credit and so on and so forth. They did this across borders. They were here. They were trading in Iraq and in Syria and in Yemen and so on and so forth. They were trading across countries so that they had international trade. And in terms of volume, it was worth billions. So we are not talking about some small time tea shop owner. We are talking about people who are doing big time trade. The caravans of some of them, they used to say that one end of the caravan was in one city and the other end of the caravan was in the other city. I mean, even if you don't take that number literally, they had actual caravans which were several thousand camels, not hundreds. Huge things. Massive amounts of material was moved from place to place, and this is what that's the kind of business they would, some of them were engaged in. And one of them was Abdullah bin Abbas of Delano. And he, what was his routine? What did the servant tell him? The servant says, he used to wait from one salah, he used to wait for the next. So you have somebody who prays and he feels a relief. You have somebody who prays and then he feels regret. Wallah, this salah is finished. I cannot pray Salat Zuhur again. When will Asr come? Will I still be alive to pray Asr or not? Is there a difference between the two? That is the point. And third one is, the fourth one is, do we see the salah as an honor or is this a chore that I have to do? This is the honor that Allah gave me to come to His presence, to come into His house, to recite His kalam. The honor of my lectures on reading and teaching Quran, those of you who have seen them. One of the things I say is that when you sit with the Kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just look at the Kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and think and wonder that why is it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted me even to hold this book in my hand? You have not started reading yet. You are looking at it. You say, well, Allah gave me, who am I? Who am I? What am I? And Allah gave me the honor of holding His kitab in my hand. This is the actual word of Allah. It's not a created thing. It is the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kalam of Allah is a sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is allowing me to hold this. Allah is allowing me to read it. These words which I am speaking, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, who actually said these words first? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu Himself. Allah did not write this on a piece of paper and give it to Jibreel and say, go and read it to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke the words in a manner which pleases His majesty and grace and suits it. And Jibreel alayhi salam heard them and took them and brought them and recited them to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The kalam of Allah is first and foremost the spoken word. It is not the written word. It was later on captured on paper, on whatever parchments and so on. It was later on, it was written down, it was memorized. But the word of Allah is the spoken word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why it's not a created thing. This is what you are reading. This is what I am reading. Now that consciousness itself, when you come into salah, do we have this consciousness? Or is our salah one routine thing? We come in Allahu Akbar, recite something, go, you know. Alhamdulillah, whichever way we pray, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cover our faults and to cover our weaknesses and to to raise our salah to a level of perfection and to accept this salah from us, inshallah. But I'm saying that let us try to up our game, you know, really do something to make this more effective for us. Because what is the sense? I mean, we are doing it. Those who are not doing it is a different matter, but those who are doing it, and then you do it in a way which is faulty, what sense does it make? So let us try to do our best to, inshallah, improve the quality of our salah. We'll take a break now for Salatul Maghrib. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.